In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah implores the Jews to come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. We've been called upon to build a spiritual wall. We'd like to try to draw some parallels between what the people did over 2,500 years ago at Jerusalem and what we face today. We build a spiritual wall around ourselves, our families, and our ecclesia to fortify ourselves against the worldly thoughts and practices that constantly bombard us. This is especially so for our young people and our younger brothers and sisters, although these trials and temptations certainly can affect us all. We have been called out to be a separate people from the world and things of this world. We are in the world, but not of it. We are a peculiar treasure bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18, we are told, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Nehemiah went to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and fortify the city. That work began about 444 BC. And as we read today in chapter 4, there was immediate and constant opposition by the Jews' enemies then. And so there are many nations who oppose the literal rebuilding of Israel even today. The work was met by ridicule and the threat of armed resistance. The people were called feeble, which can mean a withered plant or also relate to a people with no hope. But this was God's work. Just as the good works we do to emulate the character of Christ and spread the gospel message by word and deed gives glory to our Heavenly Father. God does and will hear all slights, and we can take comfort in the words of King David in Psalm 38:15. "For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God." Sanballat speaks jeeringly of the Jews, reviving the stones from the heaps of the rubble, stones that are burned. This was a sad fact. We read in 2 Chronicles 36:19 of the ransacking of Jerusalem 100 years before this. "Then they burned the house of God, broke down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions." We must have faith that we can always rebuild and build on the failures and rubble of our own past. God's mercy and compassion knows no limits to those who truly repent and love His holy name. The insults cast in verses 4 and 5 were not so much of the Jews, but implied of God Himself. Nehemiah cries to Yahweh to take vengeance, and as we read in Psalm 74:18, "Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name." One thing we face is the use of God's name taken in vain. We may hear on a daily basis at school and in the workplace. It behooves us to request, "I appreciate if you not say that around me or at all." It's a small but not always easy gesture, but one our Father expects and deserves. In verse 6, we are told, "For the people worked with all their heart." The people had a mind to work. We have tangible example of this right here in the building of our own hall, which most of us here took part in by God's grace a long time ago. Also, we look on the wonderful fellowship we have enjoyed over the years, building up the T4C camp to the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father. But this phrase, "the people worked with all their heart," can also be condensed into one word, cooperation. And the same idea was expressed by the apostles in such terms as one-minded, like-minded, and with one accord. This thought should impress upon us deeply. For it's not only necessary for our natural family to succeed, but for our ecclesial family to succeed as well. Verse 9 may contain the pivotal thought of this fourth chapter of Nehemiah. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night. We all face Sanballats and Tobias in life, symbolic of worldly pressures and influences. At times, it may feel as if for every block we add to our spiritual wall, two blocks are taken away. So the question is, how do we handle that? Do we determine for ourselves to work harder and solve the problem? Or instead, do we just pray and leave it all in God's hands to work out for us? Nehemiah suggests that we do both. Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we are workers together with him, God. Nehemiah prayed and asked God's guidance and then acted. The first thing he did was to make his prayer unto God. All his cares, griefs, and fears he spread before God and made them easy. Christ bids us to come unto him, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. After prayer, then Nehemiah set a watch. In Matthew 26:41, Christ tells Peter, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We recall in the so-called faith chapter of Hebrews 11, it does not describe men and women who just sat around, but those who took action. For example, Abel offered, Noah prepared an ark. Abraham obeyed and went away. Sarah conceived. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and forsook Egypt. Rahab received and hid the spies. They all followed up prayer with actions. We would do well in our spiritual lives to pray to God and post a guard. We cannot secure ourselves by prayer only, and we cannot be watchful without prayer. In verse 14, Nehemiah exhorts the people to fight for their very families, as we do spiritually now. We fight daily for our brothers and sisters in Christ, our sons, our daughters, our wives, and our houses of faith. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Psalm 122:6-9. When the Jews' enemies saw that their plans were laid to waste, the people were still not so secure as to lay down their arms. Our spiritual warfare is not finished until our work is. We must remain vigilant every minute of every day. We fight the good fight of faith and work out our salvation with weapons of spiritual warfare at hand. We follow the exhortation of our elder brother Paul, as stated in Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So there we have again, praying and watching. When as workmen, the workers were dispersed wherever the work was to be done, as we may do today. But when as soldiers, they came close to gather to be found as one body. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Romans 12:4-5. The spears along the wall were held up inside of them to terrify their enemies, not only morning to night, but night to morning. So must we always be upon our guard against those pressures and temptations that threaten our spiritual welfare. The people on the wall had such dedication to the work that they slept in their clothes. Their heart was upon their work, and it was their total focus. None of us, like the Apostle Paul, has had to labor and toil and often gone without sleep for the gospel's sake, or known hunger and thirst and often gone without food, or been cold and naked for the gospel's sake. Paul urged Timothy to share hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ we come to remember now, he who lived a sinless life, dedicated to manifesting the glory of his Father on the earth. He withstood all the taunts and jeers and cuts and slaps and betrayals, even unto his death upon the stake. He is our wall and our fortress, and through him we are safe and have life. We echo the prayer of Nehemiah in chapter 1 to the Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name.